All right, so some of y'all are thinking, how did you actually start looking at the interaction between earthworms and nematodes? Well, starting out in Dr. Kathy's program, I was sent out to the Auburn University Turfgrass Unit to take some samples, just to see if I can find a plot somewhere to run some experiments, and had a little bit of a turf background. Noticed a bunch of earthworm castings on the top of the turf grass. Well, I collected those, took them back to the lab, extracted them, and actually found plant parasitic nematodes in them. So doing this, I did a little bit of a lit review and found that earlier studies show that some work in the forest ecology said that in the presence of earthworms, nematode count actually decreases, and then actually found another study that says somebody found live nematodes in the pharynx and esophagus of earthworms, but actually couldn't find any in the crop and gizzard. So compared to what I saw in the castings, I believe that the nematodes passed all the way through the gut system of the earthworm and then were casted out. So a little bit of background on this. Earthworm cast is just organic material that's been digested by earthworm and then casted out. Most of y'all out there are saying, from what I've usually hear, is earthworms are beneficial. Well, they're still beneficial. They do improve soil aeration, recycle nutrients, decompose organic matter, and enhance microbial decomposition. Excuse me. But if you do any work with turf grass, you also know that when they do surface castings, mostly on golf courses, golf course superintendents, you know, it's a real trouble for them. It's not very aesthetically pleasing. But when talking in crops, what if these earthworms can transport your pathogen around your field? So looking at that, we've done some work in no-till fields, and as we were doing work out there, I did notice that there's a lot of earthworm castings. So I want to know, do earthworms play a role in the nematode distribution? Down here in the left-hand corner is just a common earthworm casting out in the field. To do this, we want to determine if plant parasitic nematodes are actually found in castings in Alabama cotton fields around the state. And if they are, we wanted to also look and see if we could find the nematodes in the gut system of the earthworm. After all that, we wanted to go ahead and look and figure out if the earthworms are obtaining these nematodes as they travel through the soil and feed. So to do this, I had two sites. My first site was in central Alabama, is E.V. Smith, which is a sandy loam. At this site is a more conventional field, or conventional till cotton field. This is where we do a lot of our reniform research. The second site is in North Alabama at Tennessee Valley Research and Extension Center. It's more of a sandy loam area. This field has been in no-till for at least 10 years, and it is another area that we do a good bit of our research, so we know there are high populations of reniform nematodes in both fields. What we did is we surveyed both fields. We collected 20 samples from each field. Each sample consisted of 5 earthworm castings. In the bottom right-hand corner is just how an earthworm cast would look out into the field. We took these earthworm casts, brought them back to the lab, extracted them, and examined them for nematodes. While we were up there collecting the earthworm casts, we also decided to go ahead and try and collect some earthworms. We collected these earthworms, placed them in some plastic baggies. That way when they would cast in the bag, and we could extract the castings from the bag in the lab. Once we got back to the lab, we identified these nematodes as a Lumbricus species, which is an invasive species. We also took half of the nematodes, and we set them aside for other experiments, and the other half we dissected the gut system in search for plant parasitic nematodes. So looking at the reniform numbers for Tennessee Valley, on the y-axis here, we have reniform numbers per pint of soil. and the x-axis we have our castings, lab castings, which is just what we collected from plastic baggies, our dissections, and then our field population was sitting right around 6,000 reniform per pint. In the dissections, we found that there were an average of 3,560 reniform in each gut system. The lab castings, we found that there were 5,280 reniform in each each lab castings, and then in the field castings, we found 1,341. Something that was interesting is 9 out of 10 earthworms that we dissected were carrying plant parasitic nematodes, and just a little refresher that the economic threshold for reniform nematode in the field is 1,000 per pint of soil. We didn't only find plant parasitic nematodes in the gut system or in the field castings. We found free living as well. Looking at the field castings, we found 6,600, or an average of 6,600 free living in each cast, and 4,900 in the gut systems. When we moved to E.V. Smith, E.V. Smith had a sandier soil. It was a little bit harder to find earthworms in this sandier soil. It didn't hold moisture as much, and nematodes like moisture. So when we looked at it, we found that the reniform numbers were about 3,000 or 321 per cast. We didn't find any worms here, so we couldn't do any dissections, but we did find we found 31,409 free livings, or an average of that per cast. And the reniform population in this field was sitting right around 1,200. So after that, just to kind of reassure what we were finding in the field, we moved into the greenhouse where we inoculated cotton pots with 10,000 reniform nematodes. We gave those nematodes 45 days to go through a reproduction stage. And then we introduced earthworms that were clear of nematodes into these pots to see if they would pick up the nematodes as they tunneled through the pots. After 5 days, we destructively sampled the pots, collected the earthworms, dissected them, and extracted their gut system. So earlier I said we placed earthworms that were free of nematodes. What we did to do this is we traveled around and bought four different distributors of the same species, a Lumbricus terrestris, which is just your common nightcrawler. We took these four distributors. We dissected 10 from each container, 10 earthworms from each container, just to make sure there were no nematodes in the gut system of these earthworms. And what we found was that actually two of our distributors had nematodes in their gut system. They weren't plant parasitic. They were free living, but either way, we threw those out. We took the two distributors that didn't have any nematodes in the earthworms, and we placed them into the cotton pots. We gave them 5 days, then we destructively sampled the pots. And what we found was that in 5 days, the average number of reniform that the earthworm would pick up is 7. We did find free living in there also. There's an average of about 5. But what was real interesting is we found a good number of eggs in the gut system of these earthworms. We found an average of 123 eggs in the gut system. When I also took samples of how many reniform were in each pot, and the average was right around 1,400. So for my objective one, we did find reniform nematode in the earthworm cast, and some future work that would be great to look at is once the earthworm cast, can the nematodes move back into the soil and reinfest cotton plants? Looking at my objective two, we did find reniform nematode in the gut system of earthworms, even though prior work has showed that maybe they were digested, anything like that, but we did find them alive. And this is just a video of, this is actually a reniform and a free living nematode that was extracted from the gut system of an earthworm that was collected at Tennessee Valley. For my third objective, Do earthworms obtain nematode as they travel and feed through the soil? We figured that yes, they do. As they travel through the soil, they do pick up the earthworms, either moving through the soil, picking up soil, or feeding on the roots. So, what does all this mean? This just shows us that nematodes can pass through the gut system or pass through earthworms. So this may mean that once an earthworm casts a live nematode in the soil or either on the surface, that nematode may be able to go back into the soil and reinfest cotton seedlings. What can I do from here, or what am I going to try and do from here, is I just want to see if earthworms can disseminate plant parasitic nematodes throughout a cotton field and see if they can actually move from one area to another. I'd like to thank my committee members, my main professor, Dr. Kathy, all my lab colleagues that helped me go out and collect the earthworms, the Tennessee Valley and E.V. Smith crews, just for keeping us a good area to work in. Thank you. I'll take any questions.
I have a question.
Yes.
Well, would you like to conjecture on how important you think earthworms are in terms of nematode movement?
I'm not going to say everybody needs to run out there and start spraying.
It seems like historically conventional pills we know destroys a lot of earthworm populations.
Yes, sir. But a lot of areas are going to no-till. And you have, I mean, no-till is a great environment for populations of earthworms to grow.
Do you think that passing through the earthworm has some effect on the nematode, either on its pathogenicity or its further reproductive capability?
I'm not sure. That would be, you know, as I do more research, that would, you know, eventually come out, and I could explain more on that if I, you know, the next few experiments I do. It's going to take a little bit to learn more about this. Yes, sir.
Did you find any other plant parasites besides roundworm?
Yes, sir. I found at E.V. Smith, we have a small population of root knot in that field, and I found just a handful of root knot. I actually found some spirals and a couple of soybean cysts.
I may have missed this. You may have talked about it. But when you put the numbers out there, numbers per 500 cc of soil.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the cast, that would be the equivalent if you had.
That's yes. Yeah, we okay. since most of our, you know, out in the field, we take up usually 500 cc's. So I just, right, you know, converted it up to 500 cc's. Yes, sir.
Could you comment on your technique, extraction technique after dissection?
After dissection, I would dissect the gut system all the way out, place it into a beaker, and place water in it, and then stir it up just to break it up enough, and then extracted it with the sucrose method, the centrifugation method.
How far does the earthworms can move?
There's a lot of different, you know, comments about that in the literature. I know someone has actually said that they'll move up to 20 meters in a night, but nobody has really, they've estimated stuff like that, but they hadn't come out and had a scientific paper, you know, stating that's what happens. Many papers state that at night they come out, they'll move across the surface of the soil, find somewhere else to feed, and then tunnel back in. So they do migrate a little bit. How much, I'm not sure right now. Yes.
Where do you get the experiment? Do you have any idea on the earthworm density?
The earthworm density? No, sir.
So I just wonder how hard it was to, you know, search.
It wasn't very hard. I'd go down check rows, or I'd go down, you know, side rows and pull up cotton plants, and they would be all around the root system of the cotton plants. I first started off using a wasabi solution that's supposed to irritate them and come up to the surface, and it's not very fun to use. it smells pretty, but in at Tennessee Valley, the soil has so much moisture in it already, it didn't work very good. So actually pulling up the plants worked a lot better.